Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org. This episode is titled Unselfishness as a Tool to Find Happiness, Peace, and Fulfillment. The secret that everyone hears about but few practice. Or the disease of self. Here is Gabriel of Urantia.
We should start out by reading from the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible. It says in Genesis 4:9, "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' And he said, 'I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?'" Well, the answer to that is yes, we are. We are a brother's and sister's keeper. However, we are taught very early in our educational system that we are to look out for ourselves, make profit for ourselves and our immediate family, and conduct our lives as looking out for number one, you. Problem is, you usually can never get enough for yourself. You never think you got enough for yourself. You always want more, a luxurious house, more expensive clothes, better car, faster car, different color car, sports car. You want the extras in life, whatever those extras are and are the gadgets to go with it. It's the great American dream. You want vacations to exotic places. Jesus said from Luke chapter 6, he said, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured out to you." Again, Walt Whitman, the great American writer and poet, said, "Behold, I do not give lectures or a little charity. When I give all of myself." James Joyce, Irish author, said, "While you have a thing, it can be taken from you, but when you give it, you have given it. No robber can take it from you. It is yours then forever when you have given it. It will be yours always when you give it away." Saki, a Scottish author, sounds more Japanese, said, "When people grow gradually rich, their requirements and standard of living expand in proportion. While their present giving instincts often remain in the undeveloped condition of their earlier days." Something showy and not too expensive in a shop is their only conception of the ideal gift. James Baldwin, United States author, said, "It is rare indeed that people give. Most people guard and keep. They suppose that it is they themselves and what they identify with themselves that they are guarding and keeping, whereas what they are actually guarding and keeping is their system of reality and what they assume themselves to be." Just like hanging on to something that isn't real. Trying to get things that aren't real. Struggling to get them. Not caring who you hurt. To get what isn't really real in the first place. and never were ever make you at peace with yourself. Are you what you have, or are you what you are inside? I wrote the song in a line of a song. It's not what you have, but who you are inside. It's not what you do, but why you do. It's not what you have. Those things cannot make you glad inside. Why do some doctors choose to practice medicine for high profit, and others choose to become missionaries to the poor and indigent? How many Albert Schweitzers are there? Why do some people choose a career in, and I didn't write this just for you, why do some people choose a career in social work or ministry, which is actually the same thing, and others choose business fields or the stock market? When Jesus comes back, there's going to be a lot of people out of work. A lot of people. So you better learn now the true jobs, the true careers, and the true ways to manifest. Strange, isn't it, that there are beings that exist behind the scenes that are looking at you to make the right decisions. When you make the right decisions, things, the universe seems to give you things. Things come back to you when you make the right decisions. When you make the wrong decisions, life's a beach. When you make the wrong decisions, you are on your own. You're on your own. There's no celestial angels, beings, midwares trying to help you. When you make the right decisions, one decision brings an angel into your reality. Next right decision brings another one. The next right decision may bring a finality. Keep on making those right decisions, and you have God's army on your side. I know, I don't speak from inexperience. Everything that I have has been given to me. That's why I like those dollar wristbands from the yard sales. If you want to buy that, it would cost maybe, I don't know, a lot more. But when it comes to me and I know somebody paid a dollar for it, I am blessed. I feel blessed. When I go to Goodwill, see this nice coat on me? You think I got that at Macy's, Kaufman's? I got it in a catalog, paid $100 for it? No, Neon got it for me at Goodwill. You see, I learned the secret a long, long time ago. When you begin to serve other people, everything in the universe will serve you. Everything. That's how God creates eternity. That's how you one day will live in your mansions. As you serve others, the universe that God has created and the laws of God serve you. It isn't something we're taught in our education systems when we're little. We're taught, get into real estate. Become a lawyer, a doctor, make money, even a surgeon. Well, surgeons are gods. And they act like it too. It's good that they can fix the body. But the first thing that people need to learn to fix is the soul. The soul. What motivates you? What motivates you? Because we're not taught the right kinds of motivation in our education system on this planet, on this fallen world. Many of us have to come to the bottom of ourselves before we begin to open up to the higher things of life. Thank God if you do. because many of you in this room have had to come to that place is, I don't want that world out there. I don't want nothing of it. I don't want to be part of that system. Jesus ran away from deals of money. Oh, they tempted him. They said, we'll give you the world. We'll make you king of Jerusalem. We'll make you the president of IBM. We'll make you the president of the satellite company. But I'm doing it for the right reason. Are you, Mr. Image Man? Mr. Image Woman? Better to shovel manure for God's kingdom than make those kind of decisions on your own, thinking you're serving others. When you're ready for the become president of the divine administration satellite kingdom, God will give it to you. When you're ready for whatever, God will give it to you. You don't have to rub hands with the devil to get it. You haven't learned that now. You're going to have to learn it someday, because your life will be miserable until you do, until you get the right perspectives. There's two ways to manifest material things, your way and God's way. Don't be the victim. You are your own worst enemy. The universe is created to work for you once you become like God. If you're not like God in those areas of your life in which you should be, then you're trying to get it. You're trying to get it yourself. Man, that's hard to do. Because you get it, you find out it's the wrong compliment, it's the wrong job, it's the wrong career. These damn millions of dollars don't ever make me happy. Then you take drugs, you take this, you take that, because you're still trying to get it because you ain't getting it the right way. Why do rich people commit suicide? If money was the answer, it's not the answer. Better to live in a hut and a teepee and a yurt and a shack with your right compliment than to live in a mansion with the wrong one. You could, on the surface, by making wrong decisions, look very rich and very successful. Boy, I know what that's like. I've been to Hollywood. I've seen the falsity of it all. I've seen the Hollywood delusion. Many seeming normal Americans who have obtained the great American dream suffer tremendous codependent relationships with their own family members. They worked hard all their lives, and all they have to show for it is their house and material things within it. But inside themselves, they're miserable. I know that my family did the same thing, in a way. Depending upon your choices will be the life that you live in peace with God and humanity. Many become addicted to prescription drugs or illegal drugs and alcohol. Many Americans, they become obese or suffer from eating disorders and all kinds of emotional disorders, all because they're trying to live the great delusion. I'll call it the Hollywood delusion, because it's Hollywood and the corporate media that makes us believe these things are true. Strive for things that don't mean nothing. We're taught in advertising that we need to have a lot of material things to be successful and happy. There are 83 listings to the word money in the Urantia book. One of the best lines in both the Bible and the Urantia book is Jesus saying, doesn't have the word money in it. But he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. That's quite a statement. A lot of people have different ideas of what that means. But once you begin to really tune in to selfish, unselfish, God, not God, you begin to learn what that means. Wow. And it's quite a lesson. I'm still learning. I still ask at times, am I rendering to Caesar or am I rendering to God here, Lord? Just asking the question is good. Because if you forget to ask the question, then you'll probably be rendering to the wrong God. Capitalism and socialism and any of the governmentarisms, they don't really compare with divine administration. None of them really work for mankind, humankind. There was a wonderful teaching of Jesus about wealth from, if you want to write this down, pages 1462 to 1465, you ought to study those pages on wealth and money in the Urantia book. But here's just one line. It's actually several lines, but you know there's Urantia book, they got big lines. A certain rich man, a Roman citizen and a Stoic, became greatly interested in Jesus' teaching, having been introduced by Agamemnon after many intimate conferences. This wealthy citizen asked Jesus what he would do with wealth if he had it. And Jesus answered him, I would bestow material wealth for the enhancement of material life, even as I would minister knowledge and wisdom and spiritual service for the enrichment of the intellectual life, the ennoblement of the social life, and the advancement of the spiritual life. I would administer material wealth as a wise and effective trustee of the resources of one generation for the benefit and ennoblement of the next and succeeding generations. Basically, Jesus teaches and taught apostles and disciples and all who can hear him that the most important thing to manifest is not money. He never taught one of his apostles to manifest money. Not once, not ever. He might have said, okay, deacons, you go and collect what you can. But he never taught them to manifest money. Here's what he taught them. He taught them to manifest the fruits of the Spirit of God. What are they? Okay. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. Putting the other person's needs before yourself. Boy, that's a revolutionary idea, isn't it? Put the other person's needs before myself. He did not teach them the greed of spirit. He did not teach them the way of greed. It's not the greed of the spirit. It's the fruit of the spirit, and you can become so blind. How do I know this as a fact? Because I've lived it, not just in this life, but in many lives. Maybe it took many lives to learn it as a man, as a human man. But I guess I learned enough of it to manifest what has manifested here in divine administration. And to top it off, if every property that we owned as divine administration were covered in the waters of floods, we lost every material thing. Doesn't matter. What's important is your soul and the cosmic family. Because we can hop on a boat, hop on a raft, go to an island somewhere, and we at least would have each other in this world. Now we know the next one's going to be so much more wonderful and in order. But even in this world, if we lost everything, doesn't matter. As long as I know you are my student, you are my friend, you are my brother, you are my sister, we are cosmic family. This is what's important. I've talked to some Hollywood successes. Every once in a while, if they can get it, they realize they got to go back home to Brooklyn and realize where they came from, to realize that they're not the image that their name makes them. All they are is Mary and Margaret and Sue and Tommy and Tony. You get it? Get real. They remember that the greatest and happiest times in their lives was with their family growing up, serving humanity. That's why God created you. That's why He'll give you everything you need in your life and eternity. Whenever you need it, no matter how big it is, you'll get it. I know. I've lived it. I'm living it. Sure, I want things to happen for me right now, yesterday. I have unfulfillment in my life, but it's only because I still complain. I've got to learn too. I've got a ways to go yet. I can't look around me yet, see everything that's manifested here, and be completely at peace because I'm still struggling with the same BS that you are struggling with, the Caligastia system that tells us we have to have this or we have to have that. That's when we'll be really successful. Blessed are the meek and humble, for they shall inherit the earth. I know that each and every one of you who hears these words are not here by accident. You're here by divine will. Some of you need to upstep where you are right now. And that's why I'm saying what I'm saying, strongly as I'm saying it, with the Father-Son circuits, because you need to hear it. I'm not up here like Mommy, saying, oh, it's okay, everything's going to be okay, you know. I'm up here telling you to get your act together with God. I'm up here telling you that your choices are going to have a price, your wrong choices. I am being the Father, and you men and God and of God, you need to be the Father too. You need to grow up in God. I thank God for all of you wonderful, marvelous, spiritual women and men here. I hope nobody gets spun out. But if you do, if you get spun out, it's because you have spun yourself out. Because you couldn't make the mark. You're not big enough man, big enough woman to be a destiny reservist. I don't care if he was an apostle in the first century. You haven't become one yet in this life. I don't care if you sat right next to Jesus and ate right next to him. You haven't done it enough in this life because we're tested. We're tested. If Lucifer can fall from being a system sovereign, a mere human mortal apostle can fall. That's why they're not all here. Why aren't they all here sitting up here? Great apostles. The Catholic Church wants to make them saints. They ain't saints. They're just mere men. They were in the first century. They are now. They should be up here. But they haven't made enough right decisions to be up here. Some are in this room, and they will be up here as elders. But don't get spun out. Don't make those selfish decisions. Make the unselfish ones, the hard ones. They are making selfish decisions. You need to make unselfish decisions. I pray that everything I said today, you can take in heart. I didn't write this for one person in this room. I wrote it for every one of you. You out there thinking, I know, he wrote this just for me. It, That dead damn Tellius fan, he does that every time. No, I don't write it because we're all so alike. We all need to overcome in these areas. This is for everybody. All you destiny reservists. God, we need you. Thank you very much.
Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.